currently inside the UBC hospital, and let's make our way to Dr. T's office. Wow, these corridors look like a maze. Think I'm a bit lost. Oh hey, these wooden walls seem pretty unusual in a hospital setting. Makes it seem even more like a maze. So here we are. Let's see what he has to say. Hi, Dr. T. Would you please tell us a bit about yourself?
I am Dr. Daniel Tobianski. I am a postdoctoral fellow here in the lab of Dr. Kiran Soma at University of British Columbia.
Wow, that's amazing. We heard that one of your recent researches was on testosterone in the mesocortical limbic system, which is the part of the brain that is triggered to feel rewarded, often called the rewards pathway. And in this research, you mentioned that your results indicate that the assumption, the traditional assumption of steroid levels in the brain reflect the steroid levels in blood, might not be correct. How is this so?
And this is really important because a lot of researchers, research for the last 100 years, has done some kind of manipulation and then looked at the blood and said, okay, look, corticosterone, which is a stress hormone, is higher, so they must be stressed out. Well, if it's different in the brain than it is in the blood, then you can't necessarily make that conclusion. So it's just kind of a warning not to jump to conclusions when you see something in the blood.
That's a very serious finding. Years of research might be overturned just based on that. So what inspired you, or how did you come up with your research topic?
Yeah, so there's been some evidence for a little while, well, actually for a long while, about 30 years, that the brain is not just a passive recipient of steroids like testosterone or estrogens, but that it can make its own. So we wanted to test this further. We also wanted to food restrict them a little bit, so they're more motivated to get food. So we wanted to see if the food restriction would change the steroid levels.
Can you please give the audience a simplified rundown of your experiment?
We wanted to see if the brain produces its own testosterone. So one way to do that is it's called gonadectomized or orchidectomized. Essentially just take out the gonads from half of the individuals and then let them sit for a while, and if you still see testosterone or androgens in the brain, that suggests that the brain is producing its own androgens. And then the other thing was to calorie restrict them, so to see if it changes the steroid levels.
And was there something surprising about your results?
Yeah. So, we were hoping to see testosterone in the brain after gonadectomy. We looked at 2 weeks and 6 weeks after gonadectomy. And we've known for a long time that if you gonadectomize a rat, you won't see any testosterone in the blood a couple days afterwards. And at 2 weeks and 6 weeks, we didn't see any testosterone in the blood. But in some brain regions that contain dopamine that are really important for reward, the levels of testosterone were as high as they were before the castration, and as high as they were in the sham animals.
Oh, so they were producing more testosterone without the gonads?
Sure, they were producing likely directly in the brain from other precursors of testosterone.
Wow. Thanks, Dr. T, for giving us such groundbreaking information on how steroids are regulated in the brain and blood. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.